This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Dennis, you, during the course of the season, you became the host of the Stormwatch and the Aftermath.
I did.
And during the Stormwatch, I do an interview with the head coach, Rod Brind'Amour. Mm-hmm. And right before, on Monday late morning, I mentioned to the head coach that it was, I believe, the 90th time that I had talked with him. And we both hoped that there were more. This is 91. I wish it wasn't today. I wish it was yesterday before game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. Head coach Rod Brind'Amour, how are you, sir?
I'm not too bad. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I really wanted to talk to you yesterday. I know you, not that you really wanted to talk to me, but it would have been under better circumstances. Other than because it ended, what was the most disappointing part of what happened against the Rangers? Maybe game seven or just the series in general?
Well, it's tough to end the season. You know, you come this far, and you mentioned 90 meetings with you, and I think we played almost 100 games.
It was right? 100, like, exactly.
Yes. Okay, well, and like I said in my end-of-year presser here, I felt like we did a pretty good job for 100 games, like hard as we could have. So I'm not disappointed in certainly anything that we the guys did and how they played. Just disappointed in the way it ended. Like, I really feel like we had, you know, I don't want to say we were the better team because we can't say that, but I just felt like we didn't quite get to it in this last series to our level, and that's what we needed. And I think had we done that, we'd still be playing. So that's the disappointing part. But it was a hell of a year, and, you know, overall, and the guys did a hell of a job.
In a way, do you think that maybe you got a little unlucky? I mean, their goaltender, Igor Shesterkin, was tremendous throughout the entire series.
Yeah.
But in this series, with the amount of scoring opportunities you had in games 3, 4, and 6 on the road, which all could have turned out, and maybe game 6 wasn't the best of the three games, but you had chances to score. Do you think, in a way, there was a little bit of, you know, a little unlucky to not win one of those?
Sure. For sure. I mean, but I also know that you needed that on your side to win. You know, like if it's going to, you're going to win, you're going to need to pull out games you shouldn't, and you're going to need to stay healthy. And, you know, there's a lot of things that have to go your way. There's no way, no question about it. You know, I don't think in that series it was a game where really too many moments where you're like, wow, we got a lucky break there. So it just, it didn't happen that way. Rangers played well. I think they played, you know, to their game. You know, it was what we thought was going to happen coming in, and it just didn't go our way. But I think the year was a great year. Just the way our guys came and played every night. I'm proud of that, to be honest. You've heard me say it here a bunch of times, but it's not easy to play 100 games as hard as we do. And I thought the guys did it. At least they left it all out there. And you can kind of, you know, walk away feeling good about that.
Rod Brind'Amour is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Is there anything you would do differently than maybe you decided to do during the Ranger series?
Well, oh man, you beat that up all night.
And right.
Trust me, that's all night. I mean, I'll be doing that all year until we play the next year. It's just, there are things you'd say, well, maybe we could have, you know, put this guy in or did that different. But I really don't have a lot of that. I don't have a lot of regrets on how we did things. Would I've liked to see us execute better on certain things? Yeah. I mean, that's for sure. But overall, like I said, I like the group we had and the effort they gave every night and their preparation and everything they did to try to win. And so it just wasn't quite there. You know, we'll definitely do our best to try again next year.
So this question has been asked of me, and I don't disagree with the premise of the question. I just want your thoughts on it. That you are an incredibly loyal coach. You don't pull goaltenders. The first year you didn't pull a goalie once, zero, which I'm not sure any team has ever done over the course of a season. and you are loath to make drastic changes to your lineup. Did that loyalty maybe work against you at times with players who really weren't producing, even if they were trying hard?
Well, I mean, I guess you'd have to be more specific because, I mean, I did, you know, it's funny. I do listen to your show, by the way. I actually do enjoy it. I think you educate me on a lot of things. And so, but I did hear in the one series, I think it was at Boston when we played, you had their guy on talking about how they were going to beat us because we don't make adjustments.
Right.
That's what this guy said. And you didn't stop him. You didn't say, hey, they had a pretty good year. And by the way, we kicked their butts for three games.
Right.
Playing them during the race. So, but we make a ton of adjustments. It's just not with maybe lineups.
Right.
Or guys, like, we are constantly adjusting how we play and things that people don't notice and face off alignments and any little thing that you can think of. So I think where maybe we don't just flip a line and a guy here or there, which I don't think is really that makes much of a difference. And where you really, I think, make your adjustments is on how you do those other little things. So we're constantly doing that. Like putting a guy in, and again, you have to be more specific on who you think
okay.
I'm taking in or out, because we really didn't. There's not a ton of options there.
True. You had at times you had Stephen Lawrence or Derek Stepan or Jordan Martinook sitting out, and I know Jordan had some health issues throughout right. the playoffs. But Martin Hages stayed up in the top six,
right.
And had a rough series.
Yep.
Really, both series were kind of rough. Did you consider, healthy scratching him?
For sure. Well, he was, we needed more out of him. So he did move up and down. I viewed him as, you say, top six, but you remember how I look at my line.
Right, I know.
He's actually probably he was our third line winger at the time. And, you go by ability, and my job is to get best out of the best players you have. He's definitely one of our best players.
Mm-hmm.
Do I believe in those guys? Yep. In their abilities. And that's, I felt like he gave us the best chance to win the games, and he did play better at times. Just obviously the production wasn't there. And we did mix, Max went up there and played in that spot and did well for a while. So but at the end of the day, I felt like the best lineup we were throwing out there was the best lineup to win.
Mm-hmm.
And that certainly wasn't, I don't think, the issue why we didn't win, if that makes sense. So, we need him to be better. He knows it. And, but again, he's still a young kid with a ton of potential. So I do believe in his abilities for sure.
And I'm going to defend myself. I didn't get into the debate. That was Matt Porter of the Boston Globe.
There
I didn't get into the debate with Matt Porter, but we did mock that that assertion in the next segment and then in subsequent segments on the show and the stuff that I write for the web, because the adjustments that they were praising, and it wasn't just Matt, it was also their reporter for The Athletic, putting Chris Wagner in the lineup, changing goaltenders, which I noted was probably a game too late. After Linus Allmark also lost game two, and then putting the best offense, best forward line in the last decade back together, those adjustments I could have made.
Right.
So I did mock that, but
what I'll say, Adam, on the lineups for people that are listening, and if you believe in your group, this is how I always was as a player.
Mm-hmm.
Was if I'm having a bad game. If I'm not, I'm two periods in and I'm kind of struggling, I'm gonna come out of it. You know what I mean? Like
right.
at some point. And so maybe you could say you go too long with certain guys, but I really feel like it's not even the Jordan Staal watching him for faceoffs in the first period. If he's 0-10, what do you think is the end of the night's gonna be?
Right.
Like, I guarantee you, he's getting back. He's gonna find a way to win those back, and so you stick with him. And so yeah, he's got a little more track record. And whatnot, but that's just kind of how I think. If you believe in your guys, you gotta stick with them.
Yeah, I'm always you know me, and it's probably to my own detriment because I defend you all the time. I am Team Rod Brindamore. Let me ask you about your stars, Sebastian Aho, Andrei Svechnikov, Teuvo Teravainen. Where did they maybe just, you know, fall a little bit short in the series against the Rangers, or did they do enough that just wasn't necessarily on the score sheet?
Yeah, I obviously we needed to score some right. more goals. Like I said, that the chances were there. They created enough opportunities to score enough to win the games. Obviously, I think the power play that they're part of was no good, but it actually wasn't terrible when I go back and look through it, especially our last three games. We got in every time. We got the chances. It just, you know, it started actually looking normal again. So, you know, at the end of the day, you got to produce at this time of year or you're not going to win, and we didn't get enough of that. But, I keep going back to what more could you have done. I think the guys prepared and gave it all they had. And we needed to get a bounce here or there, and it just didn't happen.
Rod Brindamore, head coach, Carolina Hurricanes. What did the exit meeting – what your exit meetings, without getting into specifics, because I don't think you're going to tell me what you told Andre or Seabass.
Yeah, I can tell you.
All right, go ahead. What did you tell Andre?
I told Andre to be a little careful in the summer because this guy – I've never had to say it to too many guys. He's close to overdoing it. So – it's a great problem to have. You like to have 20 guys where you got to say, hey, you got to be careful on how hard you're working this summer. He, you know, this guy, like when you put in the work like he does, there's actually a chance of overdoing it. So that's my message with him was, I know he's coming in to be one of the best shaped guys, but you know, he's 20, whatever, young kid. You want him to be that way when he's 40, you know, or 30, still going. And at how hard he works, there's that danger of kind of overdoing it at times. So, that was an easy message with him. And Aho, I don't have to say much. This guy comes and he's, you know, he wants to win as bad as anybody. Really a simple message with him. So I can give you those two. That's the half hour meetings I had with him. That's the gist.
What was the most difficult exit meeting you had?
None of them are really difficult. Because I said I was pretty happy with most of the guys, and the tough ones are the ones that I don't know the future, because they all know I want them back, and I get that it's a business, right? And I have to kind of wear two hats on that. But you know, it's so, like, we have a few of those guys, right?
Yeah,
it's just kind of okay. You know, Trocheck, for example. I love him. I think I play him more than anybody, and so. You know, but I can't pay him, you know. That's not coming out of my pocket.
Right.
So we got to figure that out. And, you know, I express how much we like him. Hopefully it can work out. I understand if it doesn't. And those are tough conversations because you don't know if you're going to see the guy again.
What do you think about Tony DeAngelo and what he brought to the team this year?
No, I loved it. I loved what he brought. I mean, listen, we all know there was some – things he would like to see a little differently on how he handles when it gets going a little squirrely. That's no secret. I think he's working on that part of it. But the overall package, what he brought on the ice, I thought was great. And the guys love him. You know, in the room, he's kind of a different guy. So he's a great, great guy to have around your room. So, I'm hoping that we work that one out too. Obviously, that's another one that's, who knows where that goes. But, the interesting thing is when you talk to the players, you know, they all want to be here, which I believe. And they like how, first of all, they love the fans. They love the area, which is great, right? Like, that's a big, big thing. It's kind of hard not to when you play in a game, playoff game here. It's obviously you're here. It's pretty special.
Yep.
So that's a huge plus. But to get agents involved, and, you know, things go real sideways sometimes quickly. So I'm always hopeful we can get all these guys back, but I know how it works.
In my conversations with Tony, what always jumps out to me is how easily the game, mentally, how easily the game comes to him. He's able to process and identify things so quickly. You could tell he just gets the game. He gets the mental side. He sees things happen before they happen. That has to be invaluable.
Well, you can pretty much say that pick any great player as a high-end player, that's the skill set that they have. That, you know, you hear people say, well, you can't teach that.
Right.
And that's, I think that's across the board, Adam. You know, you go to any sport, you know, the top guys always have that ability to kind of think ahead, right? They already know what the next play is before it happens. And that's, he's one of those guys.
All right, final thing for Rod Brind'Amour, and I know we'll speak again soon. You're not going anywhere. You might go on vacation. I hope you do. I hope you take some time and spend it with the kids and your family. What is the next?
I need it, man. I need it. Let me
well,
tell you.
I know how you grind.
Holy moly. This stuff's grinding me down, but sorry, go ahead.
No. What is the next step? I mean, you're not, obviously the team's not going to be identical to what it was this year. There could be as many as 7 or 8 new faces a year from now. What does this team need, you think, to take the next step?
Well, I mean, I don't know. What do we need different is what you're asking. I mean, I feel like we're, like I said, I believe in the group. I really felt like we're as good as anyone had any good a chance to win this year as any team. So what do you need? I mean, we got to obviously get over that hump, but what I don't want to do is, and I said this last year and we did it and it didn't matter. It changed a whole bunch of pieces. and yet we did and we got better.
Right.
So it's kind of, it gives you a positive. It makes you feel good to know that if it does happen that way, we can still move forward because we did. As long as we're not losing your guy, you know, who, right?
Yes.
The main guys. It feels like if you build around that, you got a chance. And we definitely are going to keep the core guys here intact. And so I guess we just got to keep filling the right pieces in and keep trying. That's the end of the day. And I know we will just keep doing our best. I know we're with the good pieces we have, you got a chance, right? And that's all you can ask.
If everybody gets behind 11 and 20, you're 74. I don't want to leave out.
Sure.
He is just tremendous. I think that was the most enjoyable thing about this postseason was that they stopped after maybe game 5 of the Boston series. They stopped calling Jacob Slavin underrated. They just started recognizing just how good he is.
For sure.
So
and we got a few of them. We got a few great pieces, and I think we're, you know, the young guys that are coming up. I mean, Jarvey had a breakout year, really.
Yeah, had tough playoffs. Physically, he had a tough playoffs. He got hit in the Jarvis, right?
Yeah.
then he took a stick to the mouth, and then Jacob Trouba got him.
Yeah, but I think that's not going to, you know, slow him down a bit, and that's why I think these guys got a bright future.
All right. Well, I thank you very much for the time. I'll talk to you very soon.
Yeah, buddy.
Best to everybody.
Right.
And we'll see you.
You got it. Take care.
You got it. Rod Brind'Amour. See, I told you.
Yeah.
Listen to the program. I'm screwed.
He was ready, man. I give him props.
All right.
I think he did tape.
he is very prepared.
Yeah, very much.
He is very prepared. And like when he says he needs some time off.
Yeah.
Absolutely needs some time off.
He's earned it.
Adam Gold here from my man, Coach Pete DeRuta with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. All right, Coach, simple. When do we start tax planning in retirement?
We should start as soon as possible because here's one thing, Adam. Taxes are not going away.
Right.
And so the game here is we know the rules. A lot of people want to ignore the rules or act like they aren't familiar with them, but the IRS knows the rules. And so when we get to retirement, they're going to reach in and start taking some of their money out of your accounts. So the secret here is to put a force field around as much as possible by strategically moving some of our money to Roth IRA or some of the other vehicles that aren't taxed, like special life insurance policies. You can borrow against your money there and never have to pay tax on your money that you build up inside your cash value. So there are a lot of strategies here. The one strategy that does not work is ignoring it. So let's make sure to not ignore it. The next 10 people will do for you your very own tax and retirement plan that will help you minimize taxation all the way through retirement.
800-661-7383. All you got is call, or you can text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuta. Yeah, no question.
Entertainment.
All right, 4 on the board today.
I did have his back, though, against Matt Porter.
You did.
I did have his back.
I have that whole cut saved. We can play in the rewind. That whole exchange. Loved it. By the way, I don't know if you watched it. I didn't. The match, the one with Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and Josh Allen aired yesterday.
Why was it on Wednesday night?
Don't care.
I mean, I wouldn't have watched it anyway.
Yeah, I don't
care. But why was it on? I forgot. Totally forgot. I thought it was on this past weekend.
I thought it was on this past weekend. I thought it would have been on like a Sunday or something.
Whatever. Memorial Day. I thought it was like Memorial Day.
Yeah, I don't know. Either way,
what else was there on television Memorial Day? We had the Hurricanes at night. You had the lacrosse championship.
Yeah, it was during the daytime.
Maryland beating Cornell. Other than, like, what else was on?
I don't know.
That would have been the day to do it. Wednesday night? What?
I don't know. Maybe they didn't want to compete with the NBA or something. Either way. Because the TNT has it, so either way. That happened yesterday. I don't know who won. I don't care. But here's something I would like to see if they do something like this. Okay. It would be perfect for YouTube or something like that. Is I want to see some linemen out there who are like, you know what? Let's see if I can break 110 today. I don't want these guys who are actually good golfers. No. I want something relatable. I want guys who are hitting 110s, 120s, or cracking beers, like doing stuff with the golf carts, like jumping over sand traps. That's what I want to see.
I actually watched.
Give me that.
Trying to remember what the show was. I watched Shaq play golf.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do they have clubs that fit him?
He was not good.
How long are those clubs? He's 7 feet.
He is. The clubs look like toothpicks in his hands. But yes, there was a. I saw Shaq play golf. That's very interesting. I could not have been less interested in four quarterbacks playing golf.
Yeah, exactly.
No way.
Don't.
And I love golf. I love golf. But that whole series has kind of run its course.
Yeah, it's all. Yeah, now you're just throwing quarterbacks out there because whatever. All right, a few memorable moments and things happened on this day in history. 12 years ago, the Armando Galarraga non-perfect game, Jim Joyce call at first base.
Ah,
that was 12 years ago today.
Today?
Yes, 12 years ago.
Oh, man.
Here's the thing about that moment. If he had actually thrown a perfect game, we wouldn't remember. But we remember it because of the bunch call.
Right. Well, yes. Because there have been enough perfect games that it would just blend in.
Mm-hmm.
But to be on the list of pitchers that have thrown perfect games is would be obviously exceptional. Here's the thing, and I said this at the time. Jim Joyce got the call wrong.
Yeah.
Okay? But there was enough weirdness that happened in the call. I believe you had Galarraga, who was sort of reaching for the base.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think the throw to him was behind him. And he had to reach for the base, and it wasn't as simple a missed call as people think. But it clearly was the wrong call. I mean, nobody's saying that Jim Joyce didn't make a mistake. It was the wrong call.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I objected to was the people that claimed arrogance for getting the call wrong.
Yeah,
like,
he just missed it.
Yeah, he just missed it. Joyce came back the next day, teary-eyed.
Yeah, because he was the home plate umpire the next day.
And apologized.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had a press conference.
Mm-hmm.
And Joyce stood up there and said, I kicked it, meaning I blew the call.
Yeah.
So.
At least he owned up to it.
And he has a great mustache.
He does.
Or had.
Also, 20 years ago today, The Wire debuted on HBO.
Great show.
Fantastic
that
show.
I never watched.
What?
Yeah, never watched.
Oh,
but Dennis.
Yeah.
I watch very little of those types of, like, almost no shows. I don't see movies, and I don't watch shows.
Ugh.
So my television viewing in general is sports, news, and the Oceans movies, and Men in Black.
Okay.
Harry Potter's.
Are you popping in Men in Black on VHS?
No. You have YouTube TV.
Yeah.
It's always on.
Yeah, I know it's on.
Men in Black. First of all, have you seen all three Men in Blacks?
Actually, I don't think I've seen the third one.
Oh, the third one might be the best one.
Really?
Yeah, the third one might be the best one. It
was James Brolin. Or Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin. Yeah. Josh Brolin is in it, and he's great. Mm-hmm. The second one has Rosario Dawson in it. Excuse me. Just need a moment.
You need to watch Clerks 2.
Oh, Rosario Dawson is in Clerks 2? Mm-hmm. I've never seen Clerks 2. Wow. Nice. Have you seen Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief?
Actually, I have not.
Yeah, she plays Hades' wife. I'll just leave it there.
Either way, The Wire, you need to watch it. Is one of the best television shows, most well written shows.
Everybody
I've
that
ever
I
seen.
Know who has seen it has loved it, it's and fantastic. I respect it. I'm just probably not going to watch it.
Okay, that makes me sad. All right, well, since you don't like television, I'm just going to let everyone else know that season 3 of The Boys begins tomorrow on Amazon Prime.
The Boys?
Yes.
I have no idea what that is.
I don't want to dive too deep into it because I'll go off on a lot of tangents. But either way, it's not for kids, let's put it that
way. Okay,
that's
fine.
Definitely not for kids. But basically, Garth Ennis was the creator of the comic book, but the premise of the story is that essentially, imagine if the Justice League was corporately run.
Okay.
And that there are investors and...
It's not?
Yeah. But that's the premise of the story. Like, imagine, right, like, all these superheroes are corporately run, but then you get Congress involved and things like that. So, really, there's a lot of cover-ups because you got to protect, you know, market shares and all those kinds of things. Publicly traded. So, yeah, it's a lot of corporate conspiracy, government conspiracy stuff, and then obviously the superheroes are supposed to be good, really are the ones that are corrupt.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So it's just corporate corruption. But
who's the most corrupt superhero?
In that show?
Yeah.
Homelander.
Who's that?
Basically the Superman.
The Superman.
Yeah, Superman.
That's who I would have guessed.
Yeah.
I would have guessed Superman is the most corrupt.
Yeah.
Who is the most philanthropic?
Oh, I don't know if they
Batman.
Have any.
Has to be Batman.
Well, there's no Batman. Well, there ain't, no. No.
Batman had no superpower, but was still a superhero.
Exactly.
Rich guy helping out.
Also, throughout there, speaking of Batman, movies like The Batman or the original Tim Burton Batman movies, there's actually Warner Brothers announced a DC in concert. It's an all-new kind of global touring film concert series where you can watch the films on a massive giant screen, but you have a live orchestra doing the film score during the course of the movie. So you get the actual live orchestra there with you as you watch the film. This is something I nerd out on. I love film scores, and I've actually gone and seen the North Carolina Symphony multiple times when they've done film scores as the show.
Right.
Whether it's John Williams and Star Wars or whatever it may be. They had a Space Spectacular where they did the film scores of E.T. and Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I enjoyed those things very much. So the fact that I can watch a movie and hear the film score performed live in front of me with
very
the orchestra,
cool. Very cool.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, no question.
It's a
question
new way
about.
Of watching movies, I guess you could say.
I like it. I like it. A live score?
Yeah.
Very cool.
I just can't wait till they come to Raleigh. I don't know if they are, but I want them to.
Just listen, people. Dennis has spoken.
I will keep you informed. A couple other quick news and notes here related to the NBA. Jeff Van Gundy and Adrian Wojnarowski will miss game one of the NBA Finals after testing positive for COVID.
Wait. Jeff Van Gundy tested positive for COVID?
Yep.
So, you know, Mark Jones sat in for Mike Breen during game 7 in Miami.
Okay.
Right? Because Breen tested positive.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that watched that game could tell that Jeff Van Gundy was sick.
Mm-hmm.
I was blown away that Jeff Van Gundy, who was clearly sick as a dog, was allowed to broadcast. Duh. Of course he's positive.
Yeah. Also, NBA Eastern Conference Finals hit a 4-year high, averaging just a shade under 7 million viewers per game.
Game 7. Yep. Well, it was a great series.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this is
great
for
series. For Boston, too. Yeah.
Yeah, this is for the finals as a whole. So,
Anyway, that was awesome.
That is it for Halftime Entertainment.
Excellent choice. All right. I went 2 for 3 yesterday. Dennis picked up a win. It is time to read them and weep. Add them up. We'll place our bets next.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
But now it's time to add them up from last night, so let's do it.
Place your bets, place your bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Death!
Okay, you can owe me.
I owe you this.
Because I stand with Ukraine, and the Lightning and Rangers were tied after one.
Mm-hmm.
It mitigated the damage of Holger Rune not beating Casper Ruud at the French Open. So I picked up some units yesterday, and I am at plus 540.
Very nice.
Dennis, I think you gained 10 units.
I gained
10 units.
10. Well, because the
Shohei Ohtani.
The Shohei Ohtani home run bet that I had, the Angels and...
They were postponed.
They got Angels and Yankees got postponed, which Anthony Rizzo ended up showing up at Madison Square Garden yesterday because of the postponement. So he was there for game one.
He might have been there anyway.
Yeah.
Big hockey, big Rangers fan. Good for Anthony Rizzo. All right, so start us off.
All right, Celtics, Warriors tonight. I'll take Boston, money line, game one, plus 145.
Boston plus 145.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. The Warriors have been sitting around for a while. That's probably not a terrible thing. I will also do something with the game, but I am not going to take a winner of the game.
Oh.
I am simply going to take Steph Curry to make the game's first three-pointer at plus 250.
Okay.
First three, if it's Steph, it's plus 250 in my coffers. So there you go.
All right, there you go. Spain plays Portugal in soccer today.
Oh, an international friendly?
Yeah, UEFA Nations League.
Oh, okay, that's not even a friendly. That's okay, that's good.
Game that matters. I'll take Spain plus 110.
Spain plus 110 over Portugal?
Yep, beating their neighbors.
Very, very nice. We do have some World Cup stuff coming up this weekend that we'll save for another time, because I know how everybody is fired up about the Principal Charity Classic on PGA Tour Champions.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Jerry Kelly to win at plus 2,500.
Wait, what?
Jerry Kelly to win the Senior Golf Stop at plus 2,500.
Okay. And I thought my bets were
there
weird.
There you go.
I'm going to give you so much lacrosse in UFC tomorrow.
This ain't Sunbelt lacrosse.
Sunbelt doesn't have lacrosse. It's the SoCon.
I
nailed those bets, by the way. I told you, Rich. I said High Point with the goals, and they won. Just saying.
Then why are you minus 22.35?
Because I messed up on other bets, Adam, but I'm not messing up Oilers money line plus 145 tonight for my third bet.
Oilers money line plus 135 tonight.
145.
145. Just take what's the over?
Yes.
What is the over?
Actually, the
7.5?
The over actually under was it's 7 again. It was over under was 7. In game one.
I don't know how we're not going to be at 10 goals
especially
a game.
Especially, I think Colorado's going to be in their backup goalie, too.
Well, I mean, to be perfectly honest, Edmonton's on their backup goalie, too. They just start him.
Mike Smith, yeah.
So, Pavel Francouz and Mike Smith are the two goalies. Defense optional. Yeah, I mean, we're going to have a lot of games. I mean, 7 just seems... Of course, this will be a 2-1 in overtime.
Yeah,
but
I know.
I just think we're going to see a ton of goals. In that series. All right. Yesterday, or 2 days ago, I won with Rafael Nadal beating Novak Djokovic. I think Alexander Zverev gets Nadal today.
Really?
So I'll take Zverev at... Not it's tomorrow, actually. I'll take Zverev at plus 275 to advance to the French Open final. And that's where we are. That's where we are ending.
Very nice.
Real quick about the hockey, and we do have, obviously we have NBA Finals Game 1 tonight, and Western Conference Finals Game 2, 8-6 final, Colorado and Edmonton. I just think Edmonton is so explosive. They're going to score on anyone. Anyone. They're going to score goals. Because now you've got Evander Kane playing well, and Zach Hyman playing well, and they're getting goals from Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Kyler Yamamoto. They don't even need McDavid and Draisaitl to score. They do, but they're getting goals elsewhere. Colorado's the better team, but we're going to see a ton of goals in that series. It sort of looks like the playoffs. Sort of.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.